خواتین و حضرات، ویلکم ٹو پریسنگ میٹرز، پاکستان نمبر ون فٹبال پوڈ کاسٹ۔ یوٹیوب پہ جا کے ہمیں سبسکرائب کریں، سوشل میڈیا پہ فالو کریں، اور پلیز ڈو کنسیڈر سپورٹنگ دا چینل تھرو جیز کیش اینڈ ایزی پیسہ۔ ڈیٹیلز جو ہیں وہ ڈسکرپشن کے اندر مینشن ہیں۔ یہ پارٹ ٹو ہے ایپیسوڈ کا، جو پچھلے ہفتے پارٹ ون ریلیز ہوا تھا۔ اٹ از ود ریان عباسی۔ اف یو ڈونٹ آلریڈی نو، ریان عباسی از دی ایکس اکیڈمی پرفارمنس کوچ ایٹ کرسٹل پیلس ان دا پریمیئر لیگ، اور ابھی آج کل وہ اکیڈمی فزیکل ڈیولپمنٹ کوچ ہے ویسٹ ہیم یونائیٹڈ کے ساتھ۔ تو وہ آج کل پریمیئر لیگ میں ایکٹیولی کام کر رہے ہیں، پریمیئر لیگ کلبز میں ایکٹیولی کام کر رہے ہیں۔ اینڈ آئی ہوپ یو لائک دا فرسٹ ایپیسوڈ اور دا فرسٹ پارٹ۔ اگر آپ نے فرسٹ پارٹ نہیں دیکھا، اس کا بھی لنک ڈسکرپشن کے اندر ہے۔ یہ دوسرا اور آخری پارٹ ہے۔ آئی ہوپ یو انجوائے دا ڈسکشن۔ آئی وانٹ ٹو ناؤ موو دا ڈسکشن ٹوورڈ سم تھنگ دیٹ آئی تھنک از ویری انٹرسٹنگ۔ اٹس دیٹ دا فزیکل ڈیمانڈز آف ماڈرن فٹ بال آر انسین، رائٹ؟ اینڈ you see a lot of players even from the past or ex players who are now managers, they're like, man, we couldn't have played in today's, like, it's super super hard now, the demands that you expect players to have in modern football. So I want to ask you, are there differences in methodology, in training, in diet of younger players as they're coming up? So now we see them, like, we see almost like all the footballers are absolute physical specimens now. There are no slackers, right? And Hamdan and I were talking about this. There has been recently a really 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 big, at least we think that there has been a really big switch in focus, in terms, or we can see a trend in terms of the players that are coming out now, like even from teams like Barcelona that were known to be like technical, you know, like cute technical players. Every player right now, like coming out, is physically at the top level. Like, for example, Gavi. Gavi is a very, very good example. Gavi is like a La Masia product, but Gavi is like crazy athletically. He's like fast. He's like intense, you know. There are no more slackers, number 10s, you know, just dallying around the place. Like, that kind of player is gone. Like, even the number 9s that are coming out now, Victor Osimhen, you know, Hoyland, Haaland. Then you've got Jamal Musiala, you've got Mbappe, of course. Yeah, but you get what I'm trying to say. Like, all of these, Bellingham is the perfect example, right? And like, all of these players are like, just, they're strong, they're like athletic, and they're technical, yes, but they also have the physical like aspect down to a T. So is there a difference in what is being done now? Like, what's happening?
I think there's two parts to this, to my answer, I guess. There's one like a philosophical answer, and then there's one that's like a practical answer. I think the philosophical answer is probably a deeper one, but based on football, I think the way we're going is that a lot of football has been very structured. So the excitement of the individual player has gone away, because when you can structure your team to work in those areas, you're automatically creating those chances to score.
The system creates the chance.
Yeah. Now you have certain teams, for example, Real Madrid, who work so heavily on recruiting individuals who have that exciting X factor to them that they don't have to worry about that. The players become the system. Now, the second part is that footballers are now realizing, or managers are now realizing, they can have NBA players at certain positions who are 6 foot, strong, and rapid.
Mm-hmm. And also at the same time, technically being brilliant.
Exactly.
That's Jude Bellingham.
That is what football is now realizing. I think there's a long way, again, for people to go, that you can have players in these profiles who are unicorns. And now we're seeing more and more unicorns suddenly around the whole pitch. That's why you see now so much interchange in positions between players, because a lot of them can do everything. Now, when we look, for example, at the younger players coming through, I think in the academy, it's very, very, very apparent to see, because once you have a culture from your first team down to the academy, like when you have everyone training together, I think the younger players can see, hey, that's the guy. I see him every day. Like, okay, that's the guy who's doing all these habits. I want to learn from that, or I want to add these things. And because also now we see social media and all these things, so like everyone has a phone, everyone has a camera. We can we see everything very, very, very closely. I think it's interesting that kids themselves are learning all these things as they go forward, which has pros and cons as well. We want to prevent specialization, because specialization too early, like football related, is dangerous, because the players can very quickly burn out and break down before they even hit that maybe 20, 21 year old age group. So we try to like almost promote multi-sports or like complete learning in terms of movement, because that builds a nice solid foundation of your pyramid with football being right at the top. So you want to get to football closer to 15, 16, 17, but have that whole thing below you till the age of 13, 14, even 15. Essentially, there is a consistent product that an academy can deliver, which is like, I guess, technically the philosophical problem. If everyone could produce a Jude Bellingham, they would, and we wouldn't have academies, or we would have every player as Jude Bellingham. But there are some players who come through that have a unique, like, environmental combination of just success. So mentality, quality in terms of technical ability, physical ability, everything, it just happens. The best academy players come through because they're consistent. And there is a level of consistency that you have to create as you go through the ranks that coaches say, I can rely on that kid. So I'm going to make him play up with me in the 16s instead of the 15s, because I know he's not going to mess up. I know he's specific, reliable, and they get through. At West Ham, you have your, West Ham's the best academy in football. I walk around the halls and it's like Rio Ferdinand, Anton Ferdinand, Joe Cole, James Tompkins, I've worked with him, Frank Lampard, all these guys, like, they come through, and so many big names, right? Probably missed out a few as well. Mark Noble. I think Mark Noble and Frank Lampard, all these guys are very, never below a 7 on 10, potentially, in their ratings. And 7 on 10 is subjective, but I'm sure everyone can agree. There's a level you get to, and that's your academy product. Because you will get the player who becomes a professional from the academy and then improves 5, 10% every year. But sometimes you just have these nutcase players who come out of nowhere, retire jerseys at their clubs at 17 years old.
And that was crazy.
That
was crazy. The first I thought of it, first I heard of it, I was like, who, like, really, that's a bit early, you know, premature. Like, really, is he, like, what, like, he's the second coming of Messi or something? I don't know, like, what is he? And now and I'm, like, starting to see maybe, like, you know, there might be something
Declan Rice.
Yes, very
Declan
good
Rice, Bukayo Saka. At Arsenal. Yeah, so loads of people, man.
Like Ryan Gravenberch. Like, I'm seeing a trend in all of these. Like, there's more, I think there's much more emphasis on speed and athleticism. And I think that the philosophical way to go about it is, like, I think first you were like Hamdan and I talked about it as well. First you had like the Pep Barca, who were winning with like the small little players, you know, tippy tappy. And the whole world wanted to produce like La Masia players now. So there was a focus on rondos and, you know, just like small short spaces and like trying to be technically the best you can be. And not that much focus was played on the physical aspect. Then you had like a mixture, sort of gegenpressing, and Klopp came in, and then it was like a mixture of the two, right? There was a mixture of the two. Now you have like just a blend of technical and physical and intensity and transitions, and now you're having like Jude Bellingham and everyone coming in.
I love seeing people say that, like, oh, I could play professional football, I could score that goal. Like, you wouldn't make the box.
No, it's not even, you would never make the box. It's not even I could do it. They're like, ah, my nan could do it. All right.
Yeah, it's like, 80th minute, you're not making the box, my friend.
Yeah, there is no way.
I just think that sport changes, and it's about how you adapt to it. And again, remembering that, making sure that while they are entertainers, they're also human beings. Making sure we take care of them as well.
Okay, so I want to now talk to you about Pakistani football and sports science. Which is interesting because it's non-existent, right? There is, especially like in football, there is almost nothing. First, I want to ask you why that is the case. Like, there might be a grand question, but we don't have the best coaches. We don't even have a league system or anything, but we have some clubs at some level, right? They're playing at like the district level or something. Like, that's not a good level. There's like, basically not even semi-pros, like a lot of them is like amateur level, but we have that. We have coaches. We might not have good coaches, but we have coaches, right? There are teams with coaches, and we have players. We have referees. Again, the quality might not be there. The thing with sports sciences, there's hardly anyone at all. Like, if you have the clubs, you every even the amateur clubs has some coach like or someone there who likes standing on the touchline. Yeah. No matter what amateur football game happens, even between two universities, there's a referee there that you can get from somewhere. You almost never have a sports science person dedicated. At most, you have someone like the med, like some guy with a briefcase who has like banner, like the magic spray yeah. and something, and they're like just going on. So why is this the case, man? Why is it so non-existent?
I think there's multiple probably reasons for that. Like, I think just no one knows it exists. Like, no one knows it's a thing. And that probably stems from the fact that, I guess, people just haven't learned or haven't. There's not that thing of learning that, hey, what can I improve on? What can I try and be better at? Like, how can I add this thing? There's a lot of, like, I want to say, it's, I know this and I'm sticking to this because I'm good at this. Like, I wouldn't say, like, for example, there's very select few people who really want to learn and improve and try and create it. And I talk to them on a regular basis. And that's what is improving now. I think there's also the fact that, like, why would you want to improve in football if there's no money or if there's nothing that is coming out in terms of an incentive, right? Why am I not in Karachi? Why am I not working for the national team? It's why am I not working for various other things? It's just, it comes to a point of, I guess, if there's nothing for you to really, really put your life down and say that, okay, I'm stable, I'm doing this in my life, like you wouldn't want to risk it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's the same reason I would give for lack of coaches. Like, there is no monetary incentive for even coaches, a lot of people to go into coaching.
To be fair, I think what I worked unpaid for what 2 years as well at the Premier League. So,
the thing is, though, that you not everyone can
afford
can
that.
Afford that, and B, everyone has different life circumstances. So we need to create situations in which we don't let talent slip through the cracks. Right?
I agree. It's a huge, huge, I would say, learning, or it's a huge, I guess, just a hole that the national team setups need to look at and say, why are we not doing this? Because we used to have some of the cricketers come.
Oh, yeah, I saw Shaheen. Shaheen was here. Naseem was here, I think.
So Naseem went to a different Pakistani doctor. He's at QPR. But Shaheen and Fakhr Zaman came to us at Palace, and when we work with them, like basic things were improving 10% day to day.
Yeah, because the bar is so low.
If I helped make a player improve 5% in a year, that's a bonus. We're getting like,
because they're already at that level.
10% of daily improvement on your hops.
This is your national team player who's playing the international sport.
I'm just saying there's a lot of things that we can really, really work on, because, and it's very simple stuff. It's the same way, like, how I film stuff and I give to Hamdan or I give to, like, KK and all these things. And I say that, hey, what can we do to improve that little 5, 10% that over a 10-year span, that under 10 now, when he gets to 20, is going to be far greater than any under 20 we would have produced before. And we'd have a huge group of those under 20s at that stage. I think it's, like I said, just, I really, really, the only reason I did sports science was also that, one of the reasons was that I thought that, man, Pakistan's barely done anything in sport internationally. We used to have such a big hockey team. We have such a, like, we still have a good cricket team. We, here and there sometimes, but I'm a huge fan of just Pakistani sports in general. I grew up around it, and I really, really, for me, my biggest motivation is, what can I give back? Because I'm not going to do this my whole life or my whole career or whatever. I'm not doing it for myself. Who can I teach? Who can I learn? Who's going to be the next people? So, like, doing talks with academies, doing talks with schools, all these things, that's what I do. That's what I want to continue doing. So people, again, who want to know or who want to find out, I want to give them the opportunity to learn, because there's very little people who are happy to do that. And it takes a lot of humility to say that, hey, I don't know anything, so teach me. Considering I'm 24 and you have 35-year-old people coming, 40-year-old people saying that to me is a huge thing. And I will not let that go for granted. Like, you have to be really humble for that. And I think that's our next few steps. We need to, like, look at, for example, all the people who are in gyms or running, like, programs for football clubs in Karachi, right? Or around all of Pakistan right now, where we have Mahmood and Emma, the dynamic in Karachi. We have Waleed, who's doing work over there. We have all the people in the national team set up that we really, really must aid in terms of, like, giving them the support that they need, because we're, like, they're not going to get it necessarily. So how can I give them, or how can we help them all in terms of, well, even the public, man, like, whoever's watching this, you guys find out what your niche is, what you want to do. Go to Hamdan, learn from him. Go to KK, learn from him. Go to Ismail, learn from him. These guys know a lot. Message me, learn. I'm more than happy. But these kind of things are just, identify who the people are who want to get better, educate them, and then have them implement it. That's your three steps.
Yeah.
And in
and there needs to be a whole ecosystem for someone to implement yeah. the thing. I mean, they yeah. can't implement stuff at their home. I just want to ask you one for the last things, which is actually the last thing, which is, you have been following the Pakistan national team and what they've been doing recently, right? You all also know we don't have a league system. So we know that our professionals don't generally play any regular intense football while they're not playing for the national team. What can we do from a sports science or performance enhancements perspective with the constraints that we have? So, for example, players go back. Players play today for Pakistan. Then they go back tomorrow home. And then they have no regular intense activity for, say, 2 months. They're just playing these amateur semi-pro tournaments in which you and I could play as well. They're just walking around. Then they sort of, like, the coach calls, you know, national team camp, and then he has to get them back to fitness. He has, like, they have, like, 1 or 2 weeks max. Yeah. What would you do in that situation? What can we do in that situation from a sports science perspective, from with our constraints? Because these constraints we can't change for now, but how can we make it the best that we possibly can?
I think, like, I have huge respect for, I look at Stephen Constantine, I look at Adil Rizki, I look at all the guys who are working at the national team, and it's a huge undertaking. It's a huge job, because like, I look at Hamdan, and you're not just doing one person's job, you're doing eight people's job. You're sporting director, you're an analyst, you're doing this, that, or whatever. Under the sun, it's all in your jurisdiction. But I look at the first person Stephen Constantine brought in was Claudio Altieri. I know him through someone. He's been to the Palace Academy before. One of my really good friends at the Palace Academy used to work at the Indian national team before he went to Millwall and then Palace. So he left just when Stephen Constantine was coming in. So they had a little bit of a handover. Claudio's good friends with him. So they are in safe hands, at least for the men's national team, safe hands. Apart from the league, what they do outside of that, I'm 100% sure that it is the highest level of performance, because I can guarantee that. And I know that because we are in the same circles. So understanding these things, they will most probably be doing things that have been set out for them by the performance coach, by the coach.
So himself. At home, like, for the time.
Yeah, whether that be in the park, whether that be at various tracks or various things around in the gym, there's things that they've got which align with also the most important thing, the coach's methodology. If the coach wants to play slightly more defensive system or counter-attacking system, then they've got to be really good at running or running fast, things like that. So I would say it's really definitely well set up. I would say in terms of what everyone else can do is surround yourself, I guess, with the right people, because you want to, don't let random people pass off as, I'm a fitness coach, I'm a this and that. Do research, find out who is dealing with you, because if this is your career as a player, if this is your career as a manager and you're sending your players to these people, who are they learning from? Are they online degrees? Are they, like, practical degrees? I would say I learned a lot in my university and my master's, but nothing compares to the actual experience that I got from people who I worked with. And understanding that will really give you that, I guess, critical thinking that we're trying to see, that am I just getting bigger? Why can't I move fast? Surely muscles improve my speed, but it's
not happening. Why don't I feel better? Because
yeah. And these kind of things, yeah, you're not managing your training load, things like that. Like, a lot of people will say, okay, I'm getting injured because I'm doing too much gym. Or are you getting injured because you're not doing enough gym? Because is your gym not good enough to supplement what you're doing on the pitch? Are you doing, like, what, essentially think, understand, try and learn. Because that's the most important thing. The players now, I want to say they have to perform at their best, but the younger players coming through will be the future. And we really, really have to prioritize educating them. Because, again, I can give information, but I'm not going to be the person who will be, you know, policing people to do it. So it's all about how can you find your motivation to do these things and be able to do them outside of, obviously, your camp-based training. The biggest training, first of all, for football, we call it transfer to performance. The biggest transfer to performance, if you're talking about football, is football. You will not get better at football by doing something else. And one of the things I see a lot is that we have 5-a-side pitches, 6-a-side pitches. We don't ever play 11v11. That's why we go outside the national teams get cooked against other teams, because we don't have players who can sprint 40, 50 yards. We don't have players who can do that multiple times. Can you get players to play under fatigue in bigger distances? Stop doing 5v5 tournaments every day. Get out, remove the nets on your 3 5v5 commercial pitches, play an 11v11. Get all that time to make sure that your body, your energy systems, whether it be, like, we work so much in small spaces. That's not football. That's basketball. You can play that if you want. But once you don't have that capability to play in that 30 meter sprinting, Gareth Bale versus Mark Bartra, if you don't have that, it's finished. It's done for you. And to get better at that, you have to supplement it with your gym, with your mobility, with all these things that you're doing to take care of yourself, sleeping well, eating well, all these things. It's like a, it's a very, very strange thing that we rely on people who don't really know this, but who act like they do. And it's very scary for me when I see that, that, hey, our national team players are relying on people who don't understand what's going on. And that's the people who I see on TV, who I show my friends, oh, Pakistan's playing, oh, here I come. And I'm, again, I'm an ambassador, right? When I'm working at West Ham, wherever I work in the future, I'm an ambassador for my club. I'm an ambassador for my country. And I want to see the best of the best from the club, from the country, whether wherever West Ham play, wherever Palace plays, wherever Pakistan play. I just want to see us do the best we can. And especially in terms of Pakistan, how can we get our players to be there? Because they don't have that support.
Yeah, I think you said it. I don't need to add anything else. That's perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, Rayan Abbasi, this has been an absolute pleasure, Rayan. Hopefully we can run it by a second time as well in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Pressing Matters with me, Ismail Farooq, and Rayan Abbasi. Do subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow us on social media, and do consider supporting the channel financially as well. Links or details are in the description below. Jazz Cash, Easy Pesa. Until next time, take it easy.